You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
And welcome aboard to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design, live in the studio today with the gang, including Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On Thursday, the 29th of June, 2023, welcome one and all. We love doing this show. It is rebroadcast, of course, on Saturday at 9 a.m. as well. Joining us today is Heidi Cartwright, our own RICP, Retirement Income Certified Professional and Managing Director. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. It's great to be here, and we're approaching a very exciting weekend.
We are indeed. You've got the weekend before July 4th, and the Air Force
Thunderbirds
are going to be here this weekend as well, and practicing tomorrow. Correct, Ron?
They'll be this Thursday. They'll be not really practicing, just setting some GPS points. 2 to 4 o'clock today. Practicing tomorrow, 1 o'clock Friday.
Actually, I heard a gentleman say that he preferred them over the Blue Angels, which I was shocked to hear. So, you know, everyone has their preference.
Yes.
And why not? It's awesome that we get to participate in that and see them for those who like to do that. And joining us, too, is Deanne Jennings. Good morning, Deanne.
Good morning, Dennis, and good morning, Michigan.
You betcha. She's our director of operations, and she's going to be doing our stats today, as she does each week. Well, thank you for joining us, first of all. We really appreciate your attendance. As we go through this show today, if you have texts that you'd like to add, especially in terms of your own experience with July 4th, and or as a veteran, we'd love to hear from you. We really would today, because today's show, we were all set to do the show on economics and retirement and all that, and Tuesday this week, I realized, oh my gosh, in a week from now, it's July 4th. What are we doing a regular show? Because we get to celebrate our own independence. And then we went through the material, and I got more excited, so excited, frankly, personally, this morning. I woke up at 4:30 and couldn't get back to sleep. So it's we're excited, and I especially am, because of this week's show, even in amongst the political noise and all the rest that's going on in the world. I think it's more important than ever for our perspective, for my perspective, to revisit our country, its founding, the sacrifices made, the promises kept, the amazing things that happened as a result of a relatively few people deciding that they wanted independence from the British. And as George Washington said, something like this: the American fighter would rather die on his feet than live on his knees with the British. So something like that. And it just says it so much. So we're going to recognize our freedom through our program today. The first portion is the Star Spangled Banner, as you've never heard it. It's a little over 8 minutes long. You will be able to find it on YouTube if you like. the Star Spangled Banner, you've never heard it, and then we're going to also play Whitney Houston's version of the Star Spangled Banner, as you've heard it before, but I just, you know, is there a better version?
It's fantastic. Sorry,
it's the best one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that'll take the first part of the show, and then we've got some other things we'd like to share in terms of our own country, these great United States of America. So start us out, if you would, Ron.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
There was a lawyer once. His name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." And Francis Scott Key said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, Mr. Key," he said, "tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry? He said, "We're going to remove it from the face of the earth." He said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "If you will, scan the horizon of the sea." And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, "That's the entire British war fleet." He said, "All of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, "The war is over. These men would be free anyway." He said, "You can't shell that fort." He said, that's a large fort. He said, "It's full of women and children." He says, "It's predominantly not a military fort." He said, "Don't worry about it." They said, "We've left them a way out." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "Do you see that flag way up on the rampart?" He said, "We have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule." Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, "How many ships?" He said, "Hundreds." The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, "Men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch." As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, "Tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us." 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling, every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, "It's still up. It's not down." The admiral came and he said, "Your people are insane." He said, "What's the matter with them?" He said, "Don't they understand this is an impossible situation?" Francis Scott Key said he remembered what George Washington had said. He said, "The thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees." The admiral said, "We have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down." He said, "We don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that." But he said, "Now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point." Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer, "God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it." Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle. The flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. And what he found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when hit had fallen, but men, fathers, who knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground, although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, "Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. O'er the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet fly and wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? The debt was demanded. The price, it was paid.
Oh, say..."
Well, there we go on New Retirement Radio, WTCM. What a voice.
Oh, man.
Amazing. Unbelievable.
We watched that several times and still are amazed at her talent and gift that she shared with us. Left this earth way too early, of course. But thanks to each of you for listening. You can probably tell it's live. It's still a little ragged around here, but we did our best. And I think we got most of it out there for you. So... And what a pleasure. Thank you, Ron, for doing that and jumping all over it for us and helping us make that happen.
And Prout Financial Design in today with their weekly slot, but realizing that you'll be here next week after the 4th of July. So today, able to do your 4th of July show, Independence Day.
You bet. Yes. Independence Day celebrated today for us because obviously next Thursday is after it.
I should mention a couple of text messages in.
Sure.
I cried on the 4th of July, 2020, the first time I heard this. I'm crying now, too. Thank you. And that would probably be the story of the
Star-Spangled
Banner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And another
That's
one.
Nice.
How you've never heard it. Thank you for that, by the way.
How can we find that reading that Dennis Prout just played about the American flag, Fort Henry British warship battle? Thank you, and have a wonderful long 4th of July weekend, Ron and Colleen and company. If you go to YouTube and look at the, it's called the Star-Spangled Banner as You've Never Heard It.
Correct, and it should come up first. The Star-Spangled Banner as You've Never Heard It. And
I can send them a link since this is a text, so I can send them a direct
link.
That's
great.
Yeah. Thank you.
How cool is that? So, yeah, we love doing that, and thank you for your kind comments. The level of noise that we're getting from the outside forces of this world right now, I think, as I mentioned already, more important than ever, I was glued to the news this last weekend watching Russia and all the rest, and it's great to, I think, reflect on our own history and our own freedoms. So next, we're going to be playing America, the Story of Us, or I'll just say the USA, the Declaration of Independence and its history, as done through the History Channel. Mm-hmm. And it's about a four-minute piece, and then we'll listen to the U.S. soldiers and their version of God Bless the USA a cappella. But let's listen
first. They recorded that in Mexico?
Yes,
no,
indeed.
No.
Acapella. I'm
it's
sorry.
It's not Acapulco. Not Acapulco.
Okay, I'm sorry. My bad.
Something
yeah.
like
a
it.
Little, yeah.
Yeah, I got you back there. So, America, the story of us, if you would, Ron.
The Declaration of Independence, for me, is one of the best pieces of writing I've ever seen.
It's a revolutionary document for a revolutionary statement.
You cannot help but be stirred when you read those words.
Thomas Jefferson's writing is absolutely magnificent. And when he wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal," that was the first time anybody had bothered to write that down.
And then you turn the clock back and think of when he was writing, how young he was, what a statement it was, given the history of the world at that point. And you feel the excitement of being on the cusp of something so profound that it's hard to put it into words.
If you review our Declaration of Independence, it has those beautiful words about all men are created equal and governments are formed among men to represent the people. It was a good statement of what we were all about. And that's the only thing people remember about the Declaration of Independence, that it was about all men are created equal. But it's really roughly a 28-count indictment against King George. And therefore, because of the way in which the British Crown treated us, we now declare that we are a free country, and we want to let you know why now. If we're going to have a war, we're going to have a war.
In 1776, you have the Continental Congress meeting in Philadelphia, debating a unified position for the colonies with respect to the hostilities that have already broken out. And the fundamental issue between them is, are they fighting for their rights as Englishmen within the British Empire, or are they going to fight for independence? And they're seriously divided. People who are perfectly willing to resist the tyranny of the British government are not necessarily willing to strike for independence. But there's a groundswell in favor of it, I think, in large measure because they recognize that having provoked the lion this far, there's no going back.
All of a sudden, you have this group of people who are going, no, we're not part of some great chain of being with the king at the top of it. We are free people. We can vote for who we want to have in charge. And we're not going to tolerate you telling us that we have some class status we have to be trapped in. It says, you know, we are endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights, meaning that Parliament in London, the king himself, the courts cannot interfere and take away your rights because the state can't take power from us. Even to this day, it's probably the most central difference between America and every other country in the world.
It goes well beyond what was needed in order to declare independence. It establishes a philosophical basis for a civil democracy in which all persons are guaranteed rights by virtue of their personhood.
This political genius, not just in Jefferson, but in Adams and all the other people who collected here, they saw a new time for humankind, which is that we can be free and that we can make decisions for ourselves.
WTCM News Talk 580 with Prout Financial Design, New Retirement Radio special edition today. Welcome back, Dennis, Heidi, and Deanne.
Thank you, Ron.
It's important to remember what people went through to get us where we are today. Mm-hmm. So I love hearing all this stuff to remind me. So.
Amen to that.
Exactly.
Oh, it's powerful.
Yeah. Yes,
it's just incredible to watch this. Mm-hmm. And be moved to the extent that we are. Why not? Why wouldn't we, eh? Mm. Bet.
And although we can see it here, it transfers well over the radio just to hear the words, the important words. By the way, among those speakers, there were former General Colin Powell, former Secretary of State Colin Powell, Tom Brokaw from NBC News, and Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House. The other two, I wasn't sure who they were.
I think they were
scholars.
Historians. Yeah.
Well, Newt Gingrich, obviously a historian in his own right. Yeah. It's incredible the amount of knowledge that he has gleaned and disseminated himself over the years. So let's share this motivational song. Speaking of motivating here, if you will, U.S. soldiers release new version of God Bless the USA.
Now, you first turned me on to this, all of us, a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And it sounds terrific, but you can see it, too. I think it might have been done during the pandemic because you have soldiers, and they'll show from Detroit, from all over the country and maybe the world, who are singing. So it's kind of done like a Zoom version. You've got Lee Greenwood in the studio and all of your soldiers all over the USA. It's a great version.
It is a great version and some amazing voices as a part of this a cappella version, and Lee Greenwood stands right up amongst them as well, and what a great talent. So we think you'll enjoy it.
And it's the U.S. Air Force Band, the Singing Sergeants, and Home Free, which is the a cappella group. And the first year you played this, they showed up, I think, at Cherry Festival. They did a stint at Cherry Festival, a cappella group, Home Free.
Fantastic.
Here it is.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today,
where the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. I won't
forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. This land. God bless the USA.
From the lakes of Minnesota
to the hills of Tennessee,
across the plains of Texas, oh, from sea to shining sea,
from Detroit down to Houston,
New York to LA,
where there's pride in every American heart,
and it's time we stand and say.
Right, the magic of technology. Lee Greenwood in the studio with the Home Free a cappella group, and you have the singing sergeants from all those different locations around the country and around the world.
What a sound. Acapella, all of it in, man. Beautiful, beautiful rendition. Thanks, Ron, for helping us with that, too. Sure appreciate it. So we asked Deanne, or I did, as a part of this, to share stats related to the Declaration of Independence, its writing, and those who are participating in it. So
absolutely.
Hit us with it,
first,
please.
I just want to reiterate what Heidi said earlier. It was so good. It's like we have to remember, we have to be reminded of the incredible sacrifice that gave us our freedom. It's so true, and that's what we're doing today. And just want to thank you. Thank all the men and women who are currently serving or have served in the armed forces. This July 4th, we will remember and celebrate with grateful hearts. Thank you so much for serving.
Well said. Thank you, Deanne.
So here is some facts about the Declaration of Independence. There were 56 signatories to the Declaration of Independence, and they came from the 13 colonies. Thomas Jefferson, at age 33, wrote the Declaration of Independence, but it was reviewed and modified by other members of the Continental Congress, including John Adams and Benjamin Franklin. The Continental Congress adopted it that day, but the 56 representatives did not take up the quill and pen until August 2nd, nearly a month later.
Interesting.
Yeah. The signers knew what they were doing might cost them their lives. Benjamin Rush, a representative of Pennsylvania, wrote, "Their action was believed by many at the time to be our own death warrants. The British did target the founding fathers, destroying and looting many of their homes." There's a story that John Hart of New Jersey, when he came out of hiding and returned home, never found all his children. Once the Congress approved the actual Declaration of Independence document on July 4th, it ordered that it be sent to a printer named John Dunlap. About 200 copies of the Dunlap broadside were printed, with John Hancock's name printed at the bottom. Today, 26 copies remain. And this is super interesting. In 1989, in Adamstown, Pennsylvania, a lost version of the Dunlap broadside broadside was found tucked behind the old picture in a frame, and it cost the buyer $4.
Wow.
The version of the Declaration was eventually acquired by a TV producer, Norman Lear, for $8.1 million.
Jeez.
That's not a bad
good
find,
investment.
Huh?
Yeah. And it has a large capital gain there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a large capital gain. Oh, my gosh.
The original rough draft of Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Independence is thought to have been produced over the course of a few weeks in June 1776. Despite its historical importance, the original rough draft has been lost for over two centuries. It is unknown when or how the original draft was lost, but it is thought we have vanished sometime in the 1790s. Hmm. So there's a rough draft out there somewhere.
Look in your attic.
Look behind your pictures. The Continental Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776, but it was not immediately made public. Instead, it was printed and disseminated around the colonies, where it was read out loud to the people at various public gatherings and occasions. The Declaration of Independence was read out loud for the very first time in public on July 8, 1776 in Philadelphia, the city where it was adopted.
Mm. Can you just think, picture yourself hearing this thing for the first time and what that would have been like, appreciating what they've written. I'm going to read just a little bit. How about the first paragraph of the Declaration in Congress, July 4th? 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. 13. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. What a great intro.
Obviously. TJ, Thomas Jefferson.
You bet. Yeah. And, oh my gosh, it brings to light then the praise that we heard from those talking about this so many years later and how well it was done. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. Boy, isn't it interesting just to review a small piece of that and help us keep perspective of our government versus the people. Put a fine point to that one, eh? Mm-hmm.
By the way, can I read one text before we go back
yes,
to the
you may, please.
Great stats there. Thank you so much for playing the story behind the Star Spangled Banner. I have sent that YouTube video to my 19, 20, and 22-year-olds.
Mm. Fantastic.
Great.
Fantastic. Yeah, we can all learn from it.
Like, I didn't learn that growing up in school, that the flagpole was held by dead bodies. It was held up, you know. Mm.
Oh, and that, well, Francis Scott Key, he was the negotiator for the United States, speaking with the British at the time, and a lawyer in those days. So he was, you know, he was accustomed to both sides and trying to work with them. And think of this, I don't know what you say at the stress level for him, trying to negotiate with them and them saying, well, it's not going to matter anyway. We're going to blow the smithereens out of that fort. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. It's full of women and children, you know, all that whole conversation. Wow. Okay. Incredible. At the end, there's one more, if you will.
One more. Following the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941 and during World War II, the United States went to great lengths to secure its most prized historical relics, including the Declaration of Independence, from potential harm or destruction. As a result, the Declaration of Independence and other valuable items were carefully packed and relocated to a succession of secure places. The documents were first transferred from the Library of Congress to Fort Knox, a United States Army station in Kentucky, where they were stored in a vault alongside the country's gold reserves. They were later relocated to the Virginia mountains and kept in a secret facility designed to withstand a nuclear assault.
Wow. Perspective, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You bet. Thank you, Deanne.
Welcome. Thank you.
How about those 200, they call them broadsides, so they're almost like back then. I'm amazed they could do that so fast. So Jefferson writes with a quill and a pen on what kind of paper, parchment or something.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow they have a printer that can make 200 copies. That must have been a big deal. And that was how many years ago? It was 250 years almost.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's 26 of them still accounted for.
Yes.
Mm.
Yep.
You wonder where the others are, and
250-year-old documents.
You can see one when you go to the Washington D.C. You can go see one of the broadsides there
at the archives.
Yeah,
National
and
Archives.
And they're behind glass, of course.
Of course.
And you can also see the flag, the Star-Spangled Banner flag, and it's very interesting because it. Like, it comes up, and you can see it, and then it goes behind doors because the light, because it's in bad shape,
they don't want
obviously.
To damage the fibers.
So, but that's something to see as well, and that's at, like, I think the Museum of American History. I think that's in D.C., yeah.
What was the flag like? I've not seen that.
Well,
what
it's got holes in it, and it's... I mean, it doesn't look like our flag because it has fewer stars, and so it looks a lot different. But you can see stains on it and stuff like that. You don't know all the different things, and you don't know what happened to. I don't know what happened to it right after that. So
sure,
but it's something to see. It's really big. It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Thank you. Do we need to take a break, Ron, or are we still good? We're still good.
We're still good. We have about 4 or 5 minutes left there,
awesome.
So we're good.
Great.
I was actually looking for a photo, so I don't have it yet, but I'm trying to find a photo of the Francis Scott Key flag, which I'll keep working on it.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
There's some images, but these aren't the ones. I don't know. Maybe that's it right there.
Yeah, that looks like the one I saw.
Yeah.
So wow. Yeah, it's really
it's not in good shape.
Destroyed. It's got a huge hole in the center of it.
13 stars.
My gosh. Yeah.
Heidi, you were
destroyed.
Sharing a really cool memory you had. Fourth of July.
Up here, Traverse
City.
Well,
yeah.
I came up to Traverse City when I was a kid every year to visit my grandma. And one year, President Ford was in the Cherry Festival parade, and it was so crowded that my dad had brought two step ladders and plywood, and so he put the plywood between the two step ladders, and we got to sit there to oversee because, you know, it was so crowded. That way we could see over the people sitting on the curb, and we thought we were really cool, I will say. But that's a good memory. It was very exciting to have the president in Traverse City, and I was a young kid then, and
that's very neat.
Big deal. Actually, it was just 2 years ago, about to the day, that President Joe Biden was in our neighborhood.
He went to Moomer's.
But yeah, Jerry Ford and the President Ford and the in the cherry parade.
Yes.
Amazing. I don't think security-wise they could do that now.
I don't know.
Probably.
No idea.
I don't
know. Do you know what year that was, Heidi? Do you recall?
I think it was the bicentennial, or around then.
So around 1976.
Yeah.
That would make sense, because I think Nixon left in 73 or 4.
Yeah, 74.
Yeah.
What President Ford did after that, there was a United States Senator, Bob Griffin, from Traverse City, who had a home on Long Lake.
Long Lake.
Mm-hmm. So after the parade, the President of the United States went over to Senator Griffin's house and just sat around Long Lake and had a little party. And then they went to the country club and played some golf, I hear.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's fun.
The Presidente.
Hopefully he didn't get hit in the head with the golf ball.
No kidding. Okay. Oh. Well, it's been great to share. I think we all have our memories, and we certainly appreciate you joining us here today for what's, in essence, our tribute and honor to those who have made that sacrifice for the Declaration of Independence, and Deanne stated so well, thank you to each of you who have served our country and who still, some may be listening, who are still serving today. We appreciate your service and your sacrifice to our country and for helping keep us free as Americans.
Thank you.
Prout Financial Design, live in the studio this Thursday. We'll hear a repeat of this Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning. Next week, we'll have a best of, which will be the 4th of July week, and you guys will be back with us in 2 weeks.
You bet.
All right. Thank you, as always, Dennis, Heidi, and Deanne from Prout Financial Design.